This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcast.
Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line, former LSU and Major League Baseball player, host of Mic'd Up on YouTube, Mikey Matuk. Mikey, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Mikey, man, if you listen sometimes, I mean, you know, fans are fans. Man, it sounds like, you know, everything's coming down. Charlie and I talked about this midweek last week that, man, Texas, they are a really good baseball team. And I know one thing, that dude that's managing them, he knows what the hell he's doing out there. And they got a talented team. So, you know, you saw the first game say, oh, I got a couple of texts. Oh, man, y'all praising Texas too much. Watch what LSU's going to do. And then all of a sudden, Mikey, it was like what could have went wrong. Your pitching sort of failed you. And, man, the fielding all across the board was not good and didn't get the timely hits like you had saw before. But it's early in the season. But, man, for some LSU fans, oh, my God, you'd swear, man, we got a Category 5 hurricane in the Gulf.
Yeah, you know, they look, that's what makes the fans so great, right? They're super passionate,
yes.
But they're not one to take a deep breath and not want to be rational in situations like this, and that's okay. You know, that's what we're here for, to kind of talk them down. But I do not think that, obviously, you know, going to Texas and losing the series is something to panic about. At the end of the day, LSU is still 4-2 in conference play. Texas is a top 5, top 10 team, depending on what polling you're looking at. And so it wasn't like they went on the road against a team that they were infinitely better than. They went on a road against a team that was very talented and very well coached and was playing at home. And so, you know, LSU played great, probably their most complete game of the year on Friday, and played well for half the game on Saturday. And then after that, the wheels kind of fell off, and Texas came roaring back. And then on Sunday, just felt like it was a little bit of a dead game. But I kind of give the credit to Texas on that, and making Chase Shores work really hard early in the game, and kind of having long innings in the bottom half and then short innings in the top half. And, you know, sometimes that baseball just works out that way. You know, there's a reason why you play the most games of any sport in baseball, because it's not a game that's decided between 1, 2, 10, even 20 games. It's decided over a long term of the year. You know, I think LSU still has a lot to obviously play for, but I think that, you know, fans, if you're watching, it's not something to be alarmed about. You know, it's just a bad weekend. It's a weekend that they're going to get better from, and I imagine you're going to see that tonight against UL.
Mikey, one of the things is, Bobby always says this, man, quarterbacks and head coaches, they get way too much credit when you win. They get way too much blame when you lose. And in baseball, the manager gets it too. Man, I've heard some of the dumbest things possible about Jay Johnson, about, you know, how things go. But, you know, your thoughts on Jay, just what I think he's done a phenomenal job here. Really has in a ever-changing world of college athletics and in college baseball, where we have seen the shift from out west to the south, where that's where most of the top teams are in the deep south, if it's in Texas, Oklahoma, and again, from the southeastern part, that, man, Jay, he gets it. He knows how to recruit, and he gets the very most out of his players.
Yeah, no, I think Jay's the perfect guy for the job here at LSU. I think, like you mentioned, all those, you know, those points of, you know, the landscape of college baseball and how recruiting is a year-to-year thing. And not only do you have to recruit players coming in, you have to recruit players in the portal, and you have to recruit your own players to stay. And so there's a lot of different dynamics in the recruiting world and the coaching world than there ever has been before. And I think he's the perfect guy for the job. I think he's been extremely successful, and everybody points to, oh, you won with Paul Skeens and Dylan Cruz. Like, yeah, but you won. The most important part is he won. There's a lot of schools out there that have players that made it to the big leagues that are top five picks in the draft on the same team that didn't win, right? So just because you have the talent doesn't mean that you're just automatically going to win the game. I think baseball's the most obvious sport to see that in. And so I think, you know, he's the second most winningest coach in college. I don't even know if I said that right. In college baseball, behind Tony Vitello, and you don't just do that based off of 1 year. You do that based off of the 4 years that he's been here. And I still think this team that he's got right now is the deepest and most talented, probably top to bottom, from number one to number 40th on the roster. And I think he's doing a fantastic job. The SEC is harder than it's ever been before. The conference itself has more talented players. There's deeper teams. I mean, I think there's probably 11 or 12 teams, I guess, think ranked in the top 25 or have been ranked in the top 25 at some point this season. And so it's just an unprecedented league, and I think he's navigating it tremendously.
I don't know how much you've been able to watch with Mississippi State, but that's the next series after they play tonight when they play the Raging Cajuns. Any insights on what you're expecting from Mississippi State this weekend?
Well, Mississippi State LSU always has a rivalry built into it, you know, from Ron Polk and Skip Bertman days till now. And, Mississippi State won the national championship, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, and they haven't been great since. I know they were ranked in the top 25 early in the season, and then they got into the SEC and they've gotten off to a bad start. But, any SEC game, any team that has the ability and has the talent that they have, you know, to be ranked in the top 25 has the ability to beat any other team in the SEC. And so, for me, it's a series you don't want to look past. It's also a series that you want to be able to be fundamentally sound. You don't want to walk guys. You don't want to make errors. You don't want to just give them unnecessary extra outs, because that's how those types of teams beat you. I think top to bottom, LSU is better talent-wise, but, you know, talent doesn't always prevail in baseball. And so I think that, you know, what I want to see for this weekend, I think the key for LSU to win this weekend is go out there and attack the strike zone, use the momentum that Anderson is going to give you on Friday because he's done it all year, and just continue to do that, whether it's the bullpen or the starters. And, what happened last weekend was the bullpen. So come in, just, I'd rather the team beat you with hits than you walk the guy. And so, for me, it's as simple as that. It's LSU not beating themselves more than Mississippi State beating them.
Yeah, Mikey, with the upcoming weekend series against Mississippi State's off to a 1-5 start in SEC play. But, I mean, three of those losses came to Texas, and the other two losses came to Oklahoma. I mean, there's the top 10 teams for a reason. So it goes to your point about the SEC being a complete gauntlet. I want to get your thoughts on the offense. It's been so strong all season long. It really felt like that Sunday game, you know, give credit to Texas's pitching staff. That's what Jay did post game. But it felt like an outlier more than anything else, where, you know, you have 11 strikeouts to basically two walks. It's been kind of the inverse all season long for this team. And it starts at the top, right? Derek Curiel has been awesome as the leadoff hitter for this team this year as a freshman. You know, he leads the team in walks with 24. He's just an on-base machine. He's tied for the top with Jared Jones hitting 420 this season. I want to get your evaluation of Derek Curiel and what you've seen for the young player so far.
Yeah, he's been extremely impressive. Obviously, he comes in with a lot of hype. You know, he's a guy that didn't think they were going to get on campus, and they got on campus, and you felt like it was a stacked outfield, but, you know, he was going to have to earn his way onto the field. He's obviously done that. Day one starter from the beginning, top of the lineup from the beginning of the season. And I think what makes him so special, just from watching him, is he never – he has a poise that's not normal for a freshman, right? He's very calm at the plate. He doesn't ever get too jumpy. He doesn't ever – get out of what he's trying to do, and he's allowing the game to come to him, which that's one of the hardest things to do in baseball. It took me, I don't know if I ever figured out how to do that, but he is very good at it, and that is a part of why he is able to accumulate the walks that he has and get on base like he has and be able to adjust to the pitchers throughout the course of the game, because everybody's going to make adjustments. And so his bat-to-ball skills are obviously uncanny, but it's the poise, it's the understanding of the strikes, the understanding of who he is as a hitter that's been so impressive to me.
And then I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball a little bit here, Mikey, before we let you run. With, you know, as far as Cade Anderson goes on Friday, he was basically the highlight of the weekend. He looked awesome against Texas in the Friday night start, and he's basically your ace for the rest of the season. They use Zach Cowan behind him. And Zach Cowan, Jay's called the MVP of the team multiple times. He's been used in all these high leverage moments. He had the extended outing on Friday, so really wasn't able to get used the rest of the weekend. I mean, do you see that kind of being the plan for Fridays with Cade and then Zach and just kind of shutting down opposing offenses for that first game to kind of go up 1-0? Or, you know, with the bullpen struggles that you saw a little bit this past weekend, is Jay going to kind of see how it goes and maybe use Zach Cowan later on in the weekend, depending on high leverage moments, so to speak?
I think it's going to be a more of a case by case basis. I think that you can kind of look on how Jay used Griffin Herring last year. You know, he used him in situations like on Fridays where, hey, you're going to close the game out, you're going to throw four innings, and we're going to get out of here. Or use them in situations where you use them multiple times on a weekend or save them until Sunday. And the conversation throughout the course of that year was, when's Griffin Herring going to get a start? We don't have a Sunday guy that's proven themselves to be the guy. Why don't you give him a start? And Jay stayed true with what he wanted Griffin to be, and that's the stopper and the MVP of the bullpen type guy. And it feels like Zach Cowan's going to be the same type of role. I agree with his move of last week of getting the win on Friday. You know, it wasn't like the game was super away. It didn't get away from Texas until the very end. And, you know, anytime you can go on the road in the SEC and win a game, Friday game, you win it, and then you set yourself up for having an entire bullpen, which nobody could have predicted the bullpen kind of falling apart on Saturday like it did. I think you're going to see that role from Zach throughout the course of the year. You know, I think that if LSU ends up blowing out a team on Friday, you're probably not going to see him throw with a 7-8 run lead very consistently on Fridays, and you'll be able to save him for the weekends. But, you know, I think if the game's anywhere within 4 or 5 runs on Friday, you're probably going to see him first out the pen.
Mikey, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, always great when you come on, but I got to tell you this story. I have a neighbor of mine, and, you know, we always talk, you know, we'll talk a little bit LSU baseball, and he always will bring up, yeah, Skip Bertman was great, but he could have won a couple more national championships. And I'm like, what, dude? Hey, I'm going to get the smelling salts so you can come back to the real world. But it goes to show you sometimes, man, people get kind of caught up in all that, and how much pressure was on Tennessee last year with Tony to win that national championship.
Finally break through.
And he finally was able to break through.
Right.
Man, you go through such a gauntlet to get to that point. And so it ain't as easy as you might think.
No, it's not. It's not easy. And it's you can have the most talented team. They don't always win. You have to have some luck and good fortune go your way. And you get spoiled when you see all the championships at Skip Point. It makes it look easy, and it's not easy. I can promise you that.
Thank you, Mikey. Appreciate it, bud.
Yep. Thank you all.
All righty. Mikey Mytook, man, played at LSU. Man, seems like almost yesterday. Now he's on Mic'd Up on YouTube. You can hear his thoughts on LSU baseball, basketball, football on YouTube at Mic'd Up.